Tiberius Bound. Written by Walter Signorelli. Narrated by William Turbett. Chapter 1. On the 16th of November, 42 BC, at a time when Rome was still reeling from the assassination of Julius Caesar 2 years before, Senator Tiberius Claudius Nero, 43 years old, dressed in his finest white toga, walked down the shining marble steps of the Temple of Jupiter Maximus Optimus on the Capitoline Hill of Rome to the Forum below. Nero had just offered prayers and a sacrifice to ask the gods for the good health and safety of his soon-to-be-born child. Surrounded by his freed men and slaves, he descended to the Forum, where he saw people rushing from place to place, looking warily at one another, a sense of impending catastrophe and worry on their faces. The Forum was less crowded than usual on such a clear fall day. Missing were the regular groups of spectators who normally gathered to hear political speeches or watch trials. These kinds of activities had been disrupted by the ongoing civil war that had made it unsafe to give a political speech. One faction or another would take offense, and it was too dangerous to hold trials because they had become flashpoints. Verdicts one way or the other could spark violence. Nero continued along the Via Sacra in the direction of the Palatine Hill, where the villas of the most prestigious citizens stood overlooking the city. Reaching the foot of the Palatine, he took the pathway up to his own villa near the top ridge. He climbed as fast as he could, anxious to see his young wife, Livia Drusilla, who was in labor with her first child. He was worried. Childbirth was a dangerous matter with high mortality rates for both mother and child. Nero was concerned for the child, but more concerned for Livia, frightened that something would happen to her. To lose her, he thought, would be too much to bear. If the child lived and was a boy, he would name him after himself. But that was getting ahead of things. It was considered bad luck to assume what hadn't yet occurred. By the time he reached the villa, he was perspiring and out of breath. He sat on a bench in the portico and asked a slave to bring him a wet rag. As he wiped his face, a piercing scream came from Livia's room. He grimaced, and when more screams came, he grimaced again and clenched his fists. He couldn't go into the room. Custom didn't allow it. A slave brought him water and a plate of food. He took the water but waved away the food. The screams grew louder and more frequent, then stopped. There was a long silence. Nero held his breath, then heard the baby cry. After a while, the midwives came out with the child in swaddling clothes. "Well?" Nero demanded.
"It's a boy."
"How's my wife?"
"She's fine."
"Oh, thank the gods." The midwives placed the baby on the floor, as required by custom, and opened the swaddling clothes so that Nero could inspect the child. This was the moment when the father decided whether the child would live or die. If the child was deformed, if the child didn't seem normal in any way, it would be exposed and left to die on the side of a hill or in the forest. The boy was fine. The next step was for the father to either accept or deny the child as his own. Accepting the child had major legal significance. It would invoke obligations and responsibilities for both father and child, entitling the child to inherit a portion of the family estate and requiring the father to preserve the estate as well as he could. If the father had reason to believe that the child was not his, he could deny the child. Physical characteristics that differed from those of the father might be grounds for denial. Information that the wife had been unfaithful might also be grounds. That wasn't the case here. Nero picked up the child, signifying that he had accepted him as his progeny, and named him Tiberius Claudius Nero. The boy would be called the Younger. Nero carried the boy into the bedroom and gently placed him in Livia's arms. "Thank you for giving me a son," he said. Livia nodded and tried to smile. The next morning, Nero went back to the Temple of Jupiter to pray again and to make another sacrifice. He was grateful that his son was healthy and that Livia had survived, but now he prayed for peace and for guidance. The guidance he asked for regarded the civil war. He was unsure whether to align himself with the Caesarian faction led by the trio of Octavian, Caesar's adopted son.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?